Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
All right, guys, welcome in here. It is another edition of the Early Line on the Grid. It is sportsgrid.com. Joe Ranieri alongside Dane Martinez here as we get ready for draft week. That is right. A couple of days away from the NFL draft. Going to take center stage. And we're excited. I know Dane and I are excited. We're excited here at the Grid also to come to you live beginning at 8 p.m. there on Thursday night as many of us will be keeping an eye on our favorite teams and seeing which direction that they go. I can't wait to see this from a production standpoint, Dane. I can't wait to see how much craziness happens here. I still, a big part of me thinks this is going to be very chalky as far as teams go. In other words, I don't know that a lot of teams are going to be and GMs are willing to push all their chips into the table and go outside the box or make a crazy move like we've seen for, I don't know, Ricky Williams back in the day where they traded everything. I don't know that we're going to see that. I do think if it's going to go that direction where it's like, I give up, I don't know what the hell's going on here, it's going to happen, I think, early in this draft, Dane. I think the earlier, the top five picks, well, by the time the Dolphins choose, that will tell us everything we need to know about how this draft is going to go. If pandemonium hits, it hits in the first five. If it remains chalky, then I think it's going to be one boring ass, just pick whoever's the best one on the board and move on.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, and we've talked about this, right, how this year, given the crisis that we are in and given the opportunity that schools didn't have pro days, you know, physicals didn't necessarily happen, we talked at first about what that means to the risk of the GM reputation. Right. And what you're talking about, I think, is part of the same thing, Joe, right? Like, I agree with you. They may be fewer trades, not only because of the damn technical Wi-Fi aspect of it. You may not be able to conduct it in the 15 minutes that you have or the 10 minutes that you have. But the other thing is, listen, Joe, by definition, a GM that like trades up or trades down puts themselves more in the spotlight, puts their own decision, you know, out there, yep, right? And it's kind of putting more, it's making it a higher stakes decision. And as we've seen, you know, in this year, GMs are not necessarily going to want to kind of, you know, plant the flag, nope, with some of this, as we've been talking about, with incomplete information. So I am with you, Joe. You know, we were talking about with, you know, the Lions at 3, the Giants at 4, would they be trading out? Would teams want to leapfrog, you know, maybe Miami or other quarterback needy teams? We heard reports about Atlanta wanting to move up for a cornerback. Now, those things may happen, but that will put, for example, if Atlanta does move up, right, to get the cornerback, we're hearing Henderson potentially, right? That puts Dimitroff more in the line of fire, right? Because then it's either going to work or it ain't. And I think GMs are a little bit hesitant this year to put their own reputations on the line, like I said, with incomplete information. So it may just kind of flow pick by pick by pick without the preponderance of trades that we have seen in previous years.
I agree with you. I think there's going to be hesitation with some, right, on doing that. I think others who might be inclined to make a move. I just don't know that they're going to do it given the circumstances. And also, I mean, you know, when you look at this, Dane, this whole draft process, it's going to be fascinating to me since We have no idea when these kids are going to be able to actually get acclimated to their new teammates, to their new life. I mean, basically, you're talking about kids who went to college, you know, for 3 or 4 years, who have no idea. I mean, now you're talking about going from being a kid, basically. Now you're a grown-ass man. Now you're an adult. And what's always helped them is their ability is to, right after the draft, go to, like, the rookie symposium. Cool. And Herm Edwards used to speak there. You know, find the fall guy. We all remember the audio. And then eventually over the summer, be able to get acclimated into camp. But this could very well turn out to be a year, guys, where all of these 19, 20, 21-year-olds, the first time they're going to get on the field with their new teammates and their new life might be just before they got to start playing some games, which I think is going to put a lot of these guys behind the eight ball. I don't think it's fair, but it's also a reality, Dane, which I will continue to say. Unders, to me, are going to have a huge value win total-wise because they're not going to be able to hit the field, let's say, Dane, until August. You're planning on starting the season in September. Then you're looking at new teammates, new blood, important factors, new teammates, Tom Brady, everyone else. It's all new, and you know what? It's not going to get any easier. So I'm going to be looking a lot at these under totals moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting this year. You know, Joe, the idea that the NFL has still been, like, in session is we've seen the business of the NFL being conducted, right, Joe? You know, like, we've seen free agency being signed. We've seen draft buzz and, you know, rumors and reports. But after the draft, if you think about it, in a normal year, the next thing on the NFL calendar is, right, like, rookie symposiums, rookie mini camps, OTAs. Those are things, Joe, where people got to come together. Okay, so the NFL, as soon as this draft is over, the NFL is in the same exact boat as the NBA, as Major League Baseball, as MLS, or anything else. They have to figure out, are they going to allow people to congregate, gather, practice, whether it's, you know, Tom Brady bringing his boys onto the beach in California for the passing camp or whatever it is. That's the part then that the NFL will be dealing with, the same as every other sport. So I find it interesting, Joe, that in free agency, and we've talked about this, how many players have gone to a place where they had some level of familiarity, right? Scheme or with the coaching staff. Think about Phillip Rivers to Indianapolis with Frank Wright. Think about Teddy Bridgewater goes to Carolina where he had experience with Joe Brady, right? Think about Robbie Anderson going, oh, where he had his former college head coach. Kyle Allen gets traded for in Washington to reunite with his former head coach, Ron Rivera. So I think, yeah, they're not going to be able to come together for the OTAs and the practice, and that's going to put not only, you know, anything that's new, whether it's a new team for a free agent or a draft rookie, it's going to put them behind the eight ball in terms of getting the reps in and getting the studying they need to do to hit the ground running. So, yeah, unders sound right to me, Joe.
Yeah, and listen, it's not their fault, these kids, but at the same time, it's like if you can't meet your teammates and you can't practice, and even if you're a veteran and you are now for the first time having new wide receivers or new linemen blocking for you, like, all of this takes time to put together, and time usually means the month of September, Dane, when they start the season. We could be looking at those first 4 to 6 games really as an extension of what it should have been in the preseason and for a lot of teams. So that could mean maybe a couple extra wins for a team here or there that probably doesn't deserve the win. Or it could mean that there's going to be a few teams that have been really overhyped and the expectations for them, they're just not going to live up to it. There's just no way they can. It's so unique in the ability of not being able to get on the field with these guys until who knows when at this point.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, okay, you could study as much as you want, right? Mm-hmm. You could have virtual meetings as much as you want, but when it gets to OTAs and coaches, whether they're new or old, are installing the offense or the defense, that's when you have to actually have those reps with your teammates. You know, so much of football these days is built on chemistry. If you're an offensive lineman, you have to be in sync with the rest of the offensive linemen, especially, Joe, as you know, and in kind of zone blocking scheme, right? If you're on the defensive line and you think about how to coordinate, you know, blitzes and stunts, you have to understand what your teammates like to do best. If you are a quarterback wide receiver combo and you're new because of a signing or a draft, you know, this idea of reading hand signals or hot routes or back shoulder fades, these are things that are built up over time with chemistry. Those are the opportunities that players, whether you're a rookie or a new free agent signing, you're not going to necessarily have. That is going to be delayed. So I truly do agree with you, Joe, and teams that kind of have that consistency just can kind of keep it going, I think may come out of the gate running a little bit better than those teams that are still trying to build that familiarity.
Yeah, and of course, listen, you're going to have some teams that this is where having a veteran-laden team may come into to play here with across the board with a lot of places. And, you know, the draft is going to be interesting from the standpoint, Dane, of we really get a chance to see, and maybe even more so because there's nothing else going on, so we'll have a chance to pay attention to it. But all of the misdirection and all the smoke that we are hearing, it's going to be fascinating to see which ones were somewhat right, which ones were right, which ones were way off. And I don't know about this one that has come out here, you in New York. How much have you heard about the Giants, who new head coach, new situation there, spending all this time apparently vetting and getting to know Justin Herbert? It's not like we haven't seen this before, too. Obviously, Josh Rosen knows it all too well, how a team spends a number one draft pick on him one year, and the following year they spend another draft pick on another quarterback. So I don't necessarily know that that's what it's going to be, but I find it fascinating that this is being leaked out. And if it is true, why are the Giants spending so much time talking to Justin Herbert?
Yeah, so, I mean, the first question you asked is, do I put stock in it or do I believe in it? The answer is no, Joe. This makes absolutely no sense to me. You talk that there is precedent, and yes, Arizona moved on from, you know, Josh Rosen after picking him number one, and yes, there was a new head coach, right? But it was such a kind of scheme fit, and they went to get, you know, at number one, right, who was more of a kind of, like, blue chip lock in Kyler Murray than what we're hearing about Justin Herbert. And here's the other thing, Joe, you and I both know this. GMs don't like to admit that they were ever wrong. You know, we've said this, if you get it wrong in the top 10 of a draft, how it kicks your franchise back for years. Part of the reason is because teams and GMs are slow to kind of accept that they finally got it wrong. Think about the Jaguars and Blake Bortles. You and I both knew he was not a franchise quarterback years before the Jacksonville Jaguars ever actually accepted that, right? So I don't think Gettleman would go with the quarterback because by definition, that would be admitting that he got something wrong with the number six pick last year and kind of prove all the people who were hating and making jokes of him a year ago at this time, right? But the thing is, Joe, Gettleman was kind of right. I mean, Daniel Jones had a decent rookie year. Certainly the prospects for Daniel Jones right now are higher than the prospects for Dwayne Haskins, who many people thought the Giants should take if they were going to go quarterback. And I just don't think that is actually a need for the New York Football Giants. Daniel Jones performed relatively well in his rookie season, a rookie season where he didn't have Saquon Barkley as his running back for some of those games. And I'll tell you from a fantasy standpoint, Joe, there were a few weeks where Daniel Jones put up week winning stats for fantasy players. Pretty much he had, you know, as many huge weeks as any other quarterback in the NFL. So because I don't think Gettleman would admit fault, and because Daniel Jones did just fine as a rookie, I think there's no reason the Giants should be wasting any time or energy previewing the top-end quarterbacks. And here's the thing, Joe. The books agree. If you look at our friends on FanDuel, they're hanging props of, like, what position will the Giants take? And it's at the O-line as the favorite, followed by linebacker. If you want to actually, you know, believe and put stock in this rumor, you can get 29-1 that the Giants will actually go quarterback. For me, on the BS smokescreen kind of radar, this is high. I think this is bull. I think this is just a smokescreen. I don't believe it, Joe.
It's fascinating from the standpoint that maybe, just maybe, it's because the Giants would like a lot of teams to know that, hey, we're talking to them. So if you want them, maybe it's the opportunity to come up here and go get them. So it'll be, again, and that's why I said originally, it'll be fun to watch after this draft, especially the first round is over, Dane, to try to get a handle on, you know, where there was smoke, you know, was there fire kind of thing, and to see who was the puppets, who weren't the puppets, that kind of thing there. It is going to be very interesting, even, and it's going to get crazier as we get closer to Thursday night. So, you know, a couple more days here, and it's who knows what we are going to hear, and who knows whether or not we're going to have a possible trade or not. I mean, I got to ask you, there is a lot of questions surrounding Andy Dalton and whether or not Andy Dalton is still going to be on the Cincinnati Bengals by this weekend, in fact. And while we haven't had a lot of talk about him at this particular point, he is still under contract, obviously, one more year. But I got to believe, unless he somehow says, you know what, I'd be very happy just kind of sitting here for the next couple of years and helping groom Joe Burrow, which, hey, more power to him. But if there is a competitive bone in his body where he's like, you know what, I want a place where I can start, you're not going to start ever in that opportunity unless Burrow gets hurt. You're not going to be given that kind of chance. But if he does want that kind of opportunity, not being handed anything, but wants to be able to compete, he can force his way out of Cincinnati. And if that's the case, it's going to happen sooner rather than later. Or, you know what? Wouldn't it be better for everyone if he decides one of those? Like, listen, you want to be with us? Here's your role. If you don't, we'll figure out a way to get you the hell out of here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Andy Dalton market is pretty interesting, right? Because everyone thought he was going to be traded like last year when they decided to go to Ryan Finley and kind of see what they had in the kids. But I think the market has really changed for Andy Dalton, Joe. And I think part of that reason is because you now also have Cam Newton, you have Jameis Winston and others who may be more desirable for teams, right, to fill that kind of short-term bridge or that one-year prove-it starter or whatever you want to call that. You know, there just aren't as many open chairs, Joe, when it comes down to it. So if you think about what teams are still really in the market for a true starter, I can't think of any that don't seem to be addressing it in the draft, right? We know about Miami and everything connects them to a quarterback at number five. Even now with the Chargers, we're hearing reports of how much they like Tyrod Taylor. Right. Even in New England, we're hearing reports of how much they like Jared Stidham.
Right.
Even in Jacksonville, we're hearing, listen, if Leonard Fournette thinks that Minshew ain't the man, he's now on the trading block. So the idea of where the opportunities are for Andy Dalton as a starting quarterback in this league are sort of evaporating week by week. And so if you've crossed that horizon, Joe, I'd rather be the backup where I know or competing against the rookie with the devil I know as opposed to the devil I don't.
Yep.
I truly believe that Cam Newton and Jameis Winston being part of this market have severely changed the calculation for Andy Dalton. And to be quite honest, we see this all the time, Joe. You know, Eli Manning just last year, right, was the incumbent who passed the baton to Daniel Jones. We see this in a lot of places. I would not be surprised if Andy Dalton winds up staying with Cincy and becoming more of that mentor role, that bridge role, therefore Joe Burrow. And then, you know, he could still not have to pay for dinner in the city of Cincinnati.
Yeah, a lot of it's going to be. Listen, I like Andy, and I wish him the best, man. I think, you know, he was
starting opportunities for him.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and Jameis and Cam. So a lot still going on here. And, of course, Dane and I, we got no problem covering it all for you here as the countdown to the draft has begun here in the early line. And coming up, we'll dive into some of these guarantees. And, you know, I love guarantees and in betting, Dane, but some of the names, Dane, that we will guarantee will be first-round picks. We don't guarantee a lot here, but we can guarantee you there's certain position groups that are bound to be off the board in the first round. We'll talk about some of those. We'll do it coming up next here on The Grid. It is sportsgrid.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, welcome back in here, guys. It is the early line on the grid, sportsgrid.com. Joe Ranieri alongside Dane Martinez here as it is draft week. That is right. The ability for teams to give fan bases hope in the future, unless, of course, you're like Jet fans like Dane and I, at which particular point. This is usually always our favorite time of year because this is when we have the most hope. That the Jets are going to go rattle off 10, 11, 12 wins and take down the Patriots. And, you know, we've been waiting a long time for the Tom Brady getting out of New England, and we've got it. And yet we are basically looking forward to a number 11 draft pick, and we'll have high hopes there, which is, shows you how sad it is for New York Jet fans. But, Dane, you know, there are a couple, and we don't deal in guarantees, of course, in sports betting. It's not what we do. We just try to make the most educated decisions that we can and find the best value. If we win, we win. If we don't, you're certainly not going to win them all. But I got to tell you, I do think there are going to be a couple of guarantees here in this draft come the first round.
Okay.
And I think when you look at positional talent, and of course, we'll start with quarterback.
Sure.
In the first round, I think it would be very hard for me not to think that at least four quarterbacks are going to be taken in the first round. Burrow, Tua, Herbert, and Jordan Love.
Right.
I'd go out there and stamp the approval and say in the quarterback position, we're going to have those four guys off the board come Friday, day two.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the books would seem to indicate that as well, right? We've talked for a while, Joe, about how the books are hanging 4.5 as the prop bet for the number of quarterbacks to go. I think everyone assumes that Burrow, Herbert, and Tua will absolutely go. Jordan Love has been something of a moving target. We've heard some reports that he's got, like, the best skill set in the draft. I've heard him compared to people like Patrick Mahomes, which seems a little lofty on the other side. We've also heard reports that maybe he is a day two pick. I think he will be the fourth quarterback taken, and he will go in the first round. And Joe, over on FanDuel, the prop bet for his where he is selected is pick 19.5.
Wow.
Okay, so I think that's interesting. The Raiders are at 19. They've been some team that's talked about maybe they're not done at the quarterback position. But with the total at 19.5, it would seem to think that he will go somewhere in the first round, whether it be at that level or a team kind of like trading back into the back end of the first round to go get him. Then you think about the other quarterbacks that have been batted around. I'm talking about names like Jacob Eason, Jake Fromm, Jalen Hurts, and their prop bets, Joe, are, you know, kind of in the middle of the second round in terms of where they'll be selected. So I think the number is 4. No surprise that 4.5 is the prop bet. I would go under. I think 4 will ultimately be taken, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, it's we don't like locks, but I think we can lock it in that in the quarterbacks in round one, guys, on Thursday night, expect 4 of them to be off the board. Let's go to wide receiver, Dane. And again, one of the most deep and talented wide receiving draft classes that we have seen in a long time. But the question is, how many can we lock in to guarantee will be off the board in the first round? And I can tell you this. I'll give you 4 names that I think are guaranteed to be off the board and not available in round 2. CeeDee Lamb.
Yep.
Jerry Jeudy.
Yep.
Henry Ruggs.
Yep.
Justin Jefferson.
Yes.
I think those 4, without a doubt, are locks to be off the board come day two. Now, there's a number of other guys in between there that certainly as you get to. The other problem is once you get to the bottom of the first round, guys, there's always going to be a run on the edge rushers, offensive linemen, so they can bulk up and get some depth on teams.
Right.
I do think the majority of wide receivers are going to go in the second round in day two, Dane. I think that's where you're going to see the bulk of them going. But I'm willing to lock in CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, Ruggs, and Justin Jefferson as the four locks at the wide receiver position.
I agree with you, Joe. And for just for future reference and further reference, right, those are the four wide receivers that FanDuel has dropped props on in terms of their pick.
Right.
And they are all in the first round, okay? However, it's interesting to note that the total number of wide receivers who go in the first round, which is another prop bet that our friends at FanDuel are offering, is at 6.5, Joe.
Wow. Okay.
So, and here's what I think happens, all right? And we've discussed this a little bit. You talked about those four that are at the top, right? But there are so many other wide receivers. I can think of another four or five just off the top of my head who, you know, some teams may be interested in at that level, right? But we don't know which one, though, right? Could it be a Chenault? Maybe. Could it be a Mims? Maybe. Could it be a Rager? Maybe, right? So for any individual wide receiver, we don't know if that's going to be the type of wideout that a team wants. But as I look, you know, and here's what I'll also say, Joe. The Eagles – at number 21, a lot of people think they're going wide receiver. I count me among them, right? So that might be the fourth, okay? So then I look at teams that are lower than the Eagles in the first round. That may have a need at wide receiver. We talk about Minnesota, who has, I believe, 22 and 25.
Yep.
Just traded away Stephon Diggs. That could be a place. I've also heard Green Bay as a place that may want to go wide receiver. So those are another two teams. That gets me to six, right where that 6.5 prop bet could be. So outside of those top guys, I would look to see if Minnesota goes wide receiver, to see if Green Bay goes wide receiver. The problem is, Joe, because there are so many who have a pretty good draft grade, maybe those teams decide, oh, let me prioritize the edge rusher. Let me prioritize the offensive lineman that's still on the board in a top tier and think that they can get that kind of value at wide receiver later in the draft in the second or third round. That would be my cause for pause. I think there is a talented wide receiver class, but when you play the supply and demand game, some of those teams in the back end of the first round may choose to prioritize other positions of need.
Yep. I think there's you can guarantee the first four. The question is, the other guys, it really depends on how a lot of the other part of the draft goes and who might still be left on the board. But again, when you're talking about locks and guarantees, those four guys are mentioned in just about everybody's mock drafts, and that's usually in the first 20 picks. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the bottom 12. And it's the same thing with the offensive linemen. I mean, if we're going to lock guys in here to and guarantee you first-round status, I think there's going to be a ton of offensive linemen drafted. In the first round, we can guarantee you those four guys, the big names, guys, Wirfs, Thomas, Wills, and Becton, they're guaranteed, and they're probably guaranteed, I would say, even in the first 15. They're probably off the board. Now, there are a couple of other guys, obviously, that are out there. Austin Jackson, Ezra Cleveland. Yep. There's a number of different guys available also that I think at the bottom of the first round have a really good shot of going off the board. But, again, we're talking about guarantees and locks here. And the only thing I can see, Dane, is outside of those four, nothing else is a lock or a guarantee.
I'll throw Austin Jackson in there. I'll be willing to bet. If you want to make a side bet, Joe, I'll take that Austin Jackson goes in the first round. You know, so I would consider it five. And then you mentioned guys like Ezra Cleveland, Josh Jones out of Houston may also hear their name called. The one thing I'll throw out there, although ultimately I do agree with you, Joe, and we talked about it, you know, late last week over the weekend, Mekhi Becton had his drug test flagged.
Yeah.
Okay, and so listen. I don't know if that means he will fall. Every team will make an individual decision, right, if they're still staring at his name on the board to make that pick. But and I do think he'll still ultimately be a first round pick. But I do want to put that out there, right? His drug test was flagged. Mm-hmm. And so maybe he falls. I don't think he falls out of the first round. I'd be willing to bet at least five tackles go. And I'd include Austin Jackson, the kid out of USC, in that group.
Interesting, too, as we move along here, trying to figure out the guarantees for us here, guys. And we're going to work our way, of course, to still on the offensive. Why don't we talk about running backs here, Dane? The reality is, I don't think we got any running backs. I don't think we have any tight ends either that can be considered locks for the first round. It's not a great overall class for tight ends. I mean, there's a couple of guys, but nobody that, you know, you'd go out on, no TJ Hockenson. We don't have any of those kinds of guys. Noah Fant, none of those guys in this draft for the first round. There's going to be a number of guys that are taken, obviously, in day two and three. But to me, Dane, it's the running back and tight end. Do not look there for any sort of first round surprises, because I don't think it's going to happen. I can't guarantee either of those two positions.
Yeah, I wouldn't, you know, if we're talking in the guarantee game, Joe, I would not be going there with these positions. For example, by all measures, Cole Kmet out of Notre Dame is the top tight end in this draft, okay? But I look at his prop bet of where he may be drafted. The number they're hanging is 45 and a half, Joe.
Yeah, so.
All right, that puts you in the middle of the second round. So might one team love this guy and think he's their answer? I guess that's possible, but certainly not when we're talking in terms of locks, Joe. You know, for what's interesting to me, you know, they also have prop bets. We talked about this at the wide receiver position, like will they get drafted in the first round? And the four that we talked about at the wide receiver position are all not on the board because they will go in the first round, right? Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State, plus money for yes. Denzel Mims, though, minus money for yes. So they do think he'll go in the first round. Jalen Reagor, the guy I talked about out of TCU, this is a wide receiver, even money. Chenault, Higgins, all options at the first round. Then when I look at, I told you Cole Kmet's draft prop position was like 45 and a half, right? In the running back market, Joe, there's a prop bet of will a running back get selected in the first round, you know, and it's kind of even money. So where will a team, will any team get a first round talent? And then the two specific names at the running back position, Joe, that we've heard about is DeAndre Swift out of Georgia and Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin. For Swift, yes, he'll go in the first round is minus 130. All right. So, but for Taylor, will he go in the first round? Yes. Is plus 240, Joe.
Wow.
So to be a big gap, okay? The market is saying Swift will go in the first round. Taylor won't. So it also looks then that, you know, people think that Swift will be the first player, will be the first running back drafted. And then if you go to this other market, Joe, DeAndre Swift to be the first running back selected is only minus 130. So I think that's a very interesting bet. I have heard most people say that Swift is the top running back, the three down running back. I personally do think he will go in the first round to either a team like Miami or a team like Seattle. But I think it is a safe bet that he's the first running back off the board. You can get that, Joe, at minus 135.
Yeah, I don't think it's maybe a surprise in the first, but I don't see with as much talent in some of these other positions we're talking about. Be very hard to see a team either choose running back or tight end at that point, unless they originally are in the top half of day number two and they just absolutely have to move up to have a guy. But I don't know that that makes any sense either.
Like Miami, right? They have three picks in the first round.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So their third of the three is number 26.
Somebody might come up and grab that, you know.
Them there. Right. They also don't really have a stud running back.
Right.
Remember, they moved Kenyon Drake. So after they go maybe different positions at number 5 overall and number 18 overall, maybe they're the type of team that would like one of these top end running backs in the draft because it's not their only first round pick, Joe. It's their third, you know?
So we've got a couple of edge rushers here, I think, that we can guarantee. Now, again, edge rushing is one of these spots here, guys, that everybody's looking for it. And, you know, come Thursday night, as far as the first round goes, the can't miss lock guarantees of the draft, Obviously, Chase Young is going to go there with the number two pick there to the Washington Redskins. And Kevelon Chaisson is another guy that in all likelihood will be gone by in the top 10 to 15 rounds. There are a lot of teams trying to jockey for position there, Dane, and trying to get up there and get Chase on. You do have other guys also. And again, when you get to the bottom of the first round, there's going to be a run on guys like, you know, Gross Matos. There's going to be Terrell Lewis, Zach Bond. There's a bunch of edge rushers. But when we're talking can't-miss guarantee first round, there's really only two, and it's led by, of course, you know, Chase Young there. But Chase's another guy, too, that teams have been drooling over, and it would not at all surprise me if somebody comes up and gets him in the top 10.
Yeah. You know, on some of these, when we talk about the defensive line, there's also sort of, you know, there's another couple of prospects that some may treat as more of an interior lineman who could go outside and be a pass rusher. I'm thinking about Javon Kinlaw out of South Carolina. He's a guy who will go in the first round, Joe, in my opinion. It depends on if you call him more of a defensive lineman or a defensive end. And I kind of agree with you. Yetur Gross-Matos, he may be more of a back end of the first round guy. Right. This is a pass rusher out of Penn State. But Joe has the physical tools, okay? He is a 6'4", 270 kind of prototypical size. So I'd be willing to bet that there's a defensive coordinator out there that's like, this is a freak athlete. This is a good piece of clay to mold into the edge rusher that I like. So, and the prop bet is around the same level for Yetur Gross-Matos. It's at 27.5. So when you think about a team, maybe like Seattle in the back end right there, maybe like Baltimore in the back end, I think Yetur Gross-Matos will hear his name called on Thursday night, Joe.
Yeah, and like I said, there's going to be a lot that are going to go, especially at the bottom, but when we talk about can't miss guaranteed locks, there's a lot, there's more question marks among the group that is probably going to go in the bottom half of the early of day two. But there are, as you can see, there's some talent on the board here in a lot of different defensive spots as well as offensive spots. We'll talk about some of those defensive linemen, some of the linebackers, and of course the secondary, some of the can't miss locks, guarantees. Is probably the only time you'll ever get it on this network and on this show talking about locks. But believe it or not, we do have some that you absolutely can take to the bank are going to happen. We'll give you some of those names. We'll keep it going. We'll do it next year on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Here it is, the Early Line on the Grid, sportsgrid.com. He's Dane Martinez. I'm Jared Airey as we continue to push forward here, getting ready for what is going to be one hell of a draft. And as we've been doing, going over some of these position by position, some of the guys that we think are absolute can't miss first round locks, and then you can kind of fill in the gaps with the others. There's a lot of talent in this draft, but there's only a certain few in each position that are just a cut above, and they're going one way or the other. Come hell or high water, they're going to be some of the first guys off the board for teams in their particular positions. And, you know, Dame, we mentioned, of course, some of the edge rushers there. And, you know, Chasen and Young are going to be guys that absolutely they're going to be guys. They're going after the quarterback. That's what we're going to do. When you talk about defensive linemen in this draft, again, Marlon Davidson, you've got some guys in this draft that are some big, big bone boys here that, again, are going to, when you get towards that bottom half, 25 through 32, it's always good to start beefing up the line and get yourself some of these guys. But I think Derrick Brown, like you mentioned, out of Auburn, is definitely going to be one of those guys that's a can't-miss first-round prospect. We're talking top 10 here. Kinlaw is another guy that teams have been screaming about. We can't wait to get him on there. And there's about a handful of others. Ross Blaylock is one of them. Gallimore is another one. But again, when we're getting towards the end of the first round, it depends on what the team feels at that particular point, because these guys, that all the other guys in that position would be tremendous value in round two if they could go ahead and lock them up there. So there is going to be an interesting push at the end of first rounds, like we've been telling you about, that some of these teams that if they feel there's a guy that they can go get that they don't want to risk waiting for in the second round, that's right, where a lot of these names that we've been throwing at you are going to come into play. And I think there's two linebackers for sure that we can talk about, Dane. Obviously, Isaiah Simmons. Mm-hmm. The question is not if, when he's going to go in the top of this draft here. The other one is the kid Patrick Queen, too. So there's a lot of teams that swear this is a guy that they would love to build on, much like Devin White out of LSU last year. Same kind of mold. Teams love this guy. There are about a handful of other guys in the linebacking position that have been getting some buzz, but nothing like obviously these two guys have been. And there's even some that say, listen, Simmons could play safety if he wanted. Right. So he's kind of all over the board there. But you also got Murray, obviously, Kenneth Murray. But again, bottom half of the first round. I don't know that I would say he's a can't-miss first-rounder, but when we're talking about Simmons and Queen, I think it's safe to say these are two guys that are going to be off the board in the linebacking position.
Yeah, one last thing on the defensive line, okay? Another name to note is A.J. Epenesa from Iowa.
Yeah, another guy,
pass rusher. And I think it's interesting here because you're talking about these back end of the first round, Joe, and how, you know, this may be a spot that's coveted, right, a position that people will go after. And so there are prop bets, Joe, that impact these two guys. There's a prop bet about number of people from the Big Ten that will be selected. And the number I saw recently is 5.5, okay? And I heard our friends Ariel and Jared saying that they couldn't get to 5.5. They could only get to 4 from the Big Ten. And I pressed Jared on it a little bit. And there are two names that I think would be in the first round that he does not. And it's these pass rushers, Joe. It's A.J. Epenesa and it's Yatur Gross-Matos.
Yep.
Okay, so the idea that these kids could, in fact, go in the first round, think about there's a lot of different ways to kind of skin a cat, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And so agreeing with what Joe is saying, A.J. Epenesa, Yatur Gross-Matos, those could be guys that help a Big Ten conference prop bet, along with obviously the Buckeyes that are going in the top 5 more likely. When it comes to linebackers, Joe, I see it slightly differently than you. Okay, I believe Simmons is a top tier by himself, going to be a top whatever 5, top 10 pick. You know, whether that's Carolina at 7, whether that the Chargers eschew the quarterback position, what have you. Simmons is going very early on. Joe, I sort of believe, though, in what I've seen, what I've scouted, what I have read, Kenneth Murray out of Oklahoma and Patrick Queen out of LSU are very similar players, okay? Mm-hmm. I do not draw the distinction that Queen is a cut above Murray. Right. Say I would actually have Queen and Murray kind of at the same level. I think all three of them do get drafted in the first round, I think Queen and Murray are drafted, you know, picks, call it 18 and beyond. Okay, teams like New Orleans may be intrigued. Teams like Baltimore may be intrigued. And the books seem to treat them as the same, Joe. So, for example, on the will they get drafted in the first round prop bet for Murray, yes is minus 550, no is plus 350. For Queen, it's the same exact juice, Joe. Same,
right.
They're both minus 550. They are both plus 350 to no. So these, you know, our friends over at FanDuel at least are treating them both almost with the same kind of buzz. For Murray, the prop bet is pick 21.5. For Queen, the prop bet is pick 24.5. So when you think about teams that are at that level that may be in the market,
yep,
the linebacker position, Joe, I think about New Orleans at pick 24. I think about Baltimore at pick 28. And I know it may not be a popular insight, Joe, but I think about New England at pick 23. If they don't go quarterback, whether it's Love or others, this is a team that needs to replace Kyle Van Noy, Jamie Collins, and the like. And Queen or Murray could be viable ads for them at pick 23.
Yeah, it's and it's interesting, too, because there really is a fair share of both defensive and offensive positions here that that are it's probably going to be close to 50-50, believe it or not, I think, when it's all said and done.
Yep.
When we add up all the offensive and defensive players picked there in the first 32. Interesting enough, and we'll get to the cornerbacks here in a couple, and I do think, obviously, there are two that are just a cut above, and if we're going to slap a guaranteed label in the first round, there's two of them there, but I've tried going with the safety position here, and while I like some of these guys, I'd be very hesitant as a safety to go, yeah, this is a guarantee or lock in the first round. Now, we all know Xavier McKinney, a lot of people like him, but again, this is a position in the NFL right now that would have some great value in the second round, but not necessarily in the first, especially when you look at the class of cornerbacks that you've got coming out. But I think Xavier McKinney and Jeremy Chinn are two guys that if they go, they could go in the first round. They're not making it past the second round, but it's the safety position, just not what it's been in the past here. And while I like them both, I don't think a team is willing to, and they may, but I don't know that a team, given what's going to be on the board and some of these other defensive positions we told you, I'm not sure safety is a position we're going to see a player go off the board in the first 32, Dane.
I think McKinney will hear his name called on Thursday night, Joe.
It could, but I wouldn't slap him with the guaranteed tag.
So sure, you know, I mean, would I be willing to bet? Yes, I would. But the idea of betting it and guaranteeing it, I get that that's a different level of confidence. Mm-hmm. So sure, I personally do believe Xavier McKinney, the safety out of Alabama, will hear his name called. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Jeremy Chinn. I'd like to throw out two other names at the safety position, Joe, real quick. One, and you'll remember this name because his daddy with the same name was a Pro Bowl kind of cornerback safety in the secondary. I'm talking about Antoine Winfield.
Mm-hmm.
So Antoine Winfield Jr., went to Minnesota.
Yep.
You remember Antoine Winfield was there with the Vikings. So no kind of
surprise
that his child, stayed at home in Minnesota. He seems to be moving up people's draft boards, Joe. Maybe the pedigree, you know, and it's interesting, right? In a year where you don't have the meetings, you don't have the pro day, right? You rely on the tape. And his tape was effing phenomenal, Joe.
Yep.
The other thing maybe you rely on is genes, right? Mm-hmm. I know that Antoine Winfield Jr., you know, has the DNA, has the upbringing, was around the game. So maybe that's part of it. The other name I will put up there, and Joe, I'm surprised at you. You should remember this guy because when we interviewed Lorenzo Neal a few times, Joe, he told us about his nephew that is a safety in this draft, and it's Grant Delpit out of LSU. To me, I'm not going to guarantee his name is called in the first round, but he may be off the board very early as well. Kid out of LSU has all sorts of talent. I'm not going to guarantee it, but I am very intrigued, Joe, specifically about the Kansas City Chiefs at number 32, mm-hmm. drafting Delpit. That's where I actually have him mocked, because you know they need help on the back end. And I truly believe, Joe, that the existence of the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu there, as a former LSU secondary member who had to kind of get on the straight and narrow in some ways, polish up his game, I think he could pay it forward with another LSU secondary member. I wouldn't put the lock on it, but I do think McKinney will get his name called, and Delpit and Winfield are other safeties to note their name. They'll at least hear their name on Friday, if not Thursday.
Yeah, yeah. The problem with a lot of these is how stacked they are at the cornerback position.
Yeah,
and there is five or six guys in the cornerback position that I think would go before any one of the safeties did. And then you got five or six of this, five or six of that. Next thing you know, you're running out of 32 picks, which is the problem. But the cornerback position, we know two that are absolutely guarantees. And it's Okudah, of course, and C.J. Henderson out of Florida, guaranteed to be off the board. And then regardless of those two, you still got a really nice crop of cornerbacks available to come out there. Jalen Johnson coming off a pretty good medical, they're saying. Trayvon Diggs, Fulton, A.J. Terrell. I mean, you go down the list, the cornerback position is one of those positions I think is there are going to be a lot of guys probably off the board in the first round. The top two, Okudah and Henderson by far, but if it came down to it, get one of these other guys we just mentioned or go safety, I think you're going to see the run on quarterbacks before you see the run on safeties here. It's going to be interesting to see how many quarterbacks are off the board for Friday coming off at two, because there is five or six that absolutely could benefit and could help teams certainly at the bottom of the draft. But again, the bottom of the first round in the draft, that's, you know, you can go pick up some beef there and you can go get yourself some, some talent. I do think the secondary members, lot of day two at wide receivers and secondary members, I think that's all you're going to see on day two.
That's interesting, Joe. I agree with you when it comes to the safety position. I, however, think the cornerback position is becoming more and more of a premier position in the NFL. So I do think that the cornerback, different from the safety, will be kind of a priority of some teams even in the back half of round one on Thursday. You talk about C.J. Henderson out of Florida. He's going, okay? We know about Okudah already. For sure. You mentioned Diggs out of Alabama. You mentioned Fulton out of LSU. There's a couple of others. I would also like to draw your attention to another one who I've been hearing over the last few days have started to move up draft boards, and that's A.J. Terrell out of Clemson, Joe, okay? He has been moving up. Some teams, some buzz about him even being in the teens. Maybe a team like Atlanta, if they don't trade up to get Henderson, which is what a lot of people are saying.
Dang, right.
Think about Dallas in that region of the first round, losing Byron Jones and others in the secondary. I think about Jacksonville with their second pick at number 20.
Yep.
Joe, they've lost Jalen Ramsey. They've lost A.J. Bouye, right? Think about Minnesota with two picks in the 20s, Joe. They may be in the cornerback market. Remember, they cut Xavier Rhodes previously, right? And then, honestly, I do believe that there's never a such thing as having too many cornerbacks these days.
Right.
With move to a passing league, right? Your idea of the third slot nickel cornerback is important, Joe. And I think teams will stock up on cornerbacks, including potentially the defending champs, Kansas City at number 32. Mm-hmm. We've seen they be attacked in the pass game. Well, you know, I mentioned Grant Delpit, the safety. I think Kansas City could go in the secondary to close out the first round.
Yeah, and nobody would. It's so funny with Kansas City. They're so unique having that last pick because they could either go it could be a vanity kind of pick. They could go Swift. They could go running back there, even though they have Damian Williams. They kind of have the luxury to add another weapon to, you know, they could go secondary. They could go linebacker. I mean, they have. It's essentially, to me, they're getting the best pick of the second round is really what it is. That's how you look at it, right? And it's with the talent and what they need, Kansas City finds themselves in a very unique spot to be able to get that best of the rest, so to speak. And depending on which direction they want to go, they're going to get a quality or what should have maybe been a first round talent, though, but just kind of fell that one tier below. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of sit there. The other thing to me is in the that you start going up from 32, man, which one of these teams is going to, you know, they're all open for business, apparently. That's what we keep hearing, Dane, that, you know, you want to call. So a lot of people willing to drop down into the second, give them that ability, give teams that ability to go up in the first round, late in the first round, and go get the player that they want. So it's going to be really, really fascinating. It's also going to be, and I can't wait because the report's already coming in, and we'll talk about this coming up. The NFL did a mock draft, much like we're going to do a test run, kind of a mock walkthrough of the draft. And they got all the way through, well, Cincinnati at the one pick before everything blew up on them. So we'll give you the details on that. Hopefully our mock draft goes a lot smoother than apparently what the NFL did yesterday. So technical glitches, Skype, Zoom, like you name it. We're keeping our fingers crossed. Ours is going to happen today, so wish us luck. But, yes, the NFL apparently not going so well. We'll have more on that coming up next here on The Grid. It is The Early Line on SportsGrid.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.